Our Bible reading will be taken from the book of Psalm 128, verse 1 to 6. I'll repeat that again. It's going to be taken from Psalm 128, verse 1 to 6. It reads, "A song of ascent, blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. You shall eat the fruit of the labor of your hands. You shall be blessed, and he shall be well with you. Verse 3. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your children will be like olive shoots around your table. Behold, thou shalt be the man be blessed who fears the Lord. Verse 5. The Lord bless you from Zion. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Verse 6. May you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. Amen."
Amen. Good morning.
Even with the technology issues, we're still able to worship God and praise God. And a special thanks to family as well, who's bearing with it without the technology that we used to. But we're here nevertheless to worship God and to praise God, and that's what we are doing. I want to take an opportunity to wish all our mothers a happy Mother's Day today. It's a blessing. Being a mother is a gift. Some of you have got children who are not here. Some of you have got children who live overseas. But you know what it's like to be a mother. I've seen my wife bring 7 children up. We've had a fair bit of experience, and we're still having a fair bit of experience even now. But it's a gift. It's a blessing that God has given you. Not only that, there are members of this congregation, I'd say mature members of this congregation, who are likewise mothers to the children of this congregation. You may not be a biological mother to them, but you certainly are an important part of their lives. I've seen myself with my own family, how they have been blessed over the years. With brethren from this congregation. When I think of a mother, I think of Galatians 5. You can't help but use the fruit of the Spirit. To be a mother, the love that is needed, you know, it's intense. It's a special love. In fact, almost like when you consider the Christian life and the way that we should live and walk, when you look at the example in Galatians 5, you think the prime example is a mother. When you see how a mother reacts with her child, how she tends and cares for her child. I heard it said once that the husband, he jumps to attention when they break a bone. The mother jumps to attention when it grows a bit of skin. And I think that the love that the mother has is something very special. There'll be brethren here who maybe your children are not Christians. There are times when you can find yourself beating yourself up over that. What you've got to remember is this, that children become adults, and when they become adults, they make their choices. They make their choices. And those choices aren't necessarily down to you. You do the best that you can do to bring them up in the kingdom. And you do the best that you can do to allow them to see what matters to you. Because one of the things I've noted about children is they see everything. They see everything. They see everything that goes on in your life. I recall going to a parents' evening one time, and there were pictures and there were writing comments, you know. Dad was angry the other day, and it was a picture of this angry man, and it was me. As a young man, you know, when I saw that, I thought, you know, they see things that a lot of people don't see. But a mother is a mother who loves her children. A mother is a mother who has joy for her children. whenever they go through things in life. She brings peace. She's a peacemaker in the home. You know, 9 times out of 10, you know, the mother brings the peace. And kindness and goodness and faithfulness, of course, is so important as Christians to have this gentleness and self-control. All of these things are critical, and all of these things depict a mother and depict her nature. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Colossian church, and what he did was he was trying to give some wisdom to the families. He said in Colossians 3:18, wives, submit to your own husband as it is fitting in the Lord. But then he goes on to say, husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter toward them. And it makes you realise what a responsibility we have. What a responsibility we have as a husband to our wives, because our wives are the ones that are making our homes, the ones that are working around. And you know, you may be sitting here today and you may be a single mum, you may be a single parent. Well, God bless you for that. For being here, going through that trial and that struggle in that way. God bless you. Because you see, we are part of a union. And again, the Apostle Paul says to the children, children, obey your parents in all things. In all things. Now, there comes a time when your children become no longer children. They grow up. And then they make their own choices and their own decisions. And that's now, they've moved on. They've moved on. You've done your bit. And all we can do is pray for them and keep willing them to do well and be the best example and the best role models. But those children, though we call them our children, are adults. And we have to understand that there comes a time when, you know, we're no longer accountable for the decisions they make. But while they're children, you know, what do we expect? Obedience to your parents, to all the children here, obey your parents. It's very important. But more important than that, it's a blessing to God. Because what does God say? This is well-pleasing to the Lord. And as your children grow and they'll learn about these things, you see, what I've discovered in my life, certainly as a child growing up, was some of the greatest influences in my life were some of the mature sisters who I looked to. They were the mature sisters that would come and tell you the truth. They would tap you on the shoulder, they'd see you doing something, they would come look at you. There was one sister who caught me doing something that I shouldn't have been doing. I was having a little go on a cigarette. That's what I was doing. Young little boy, having a little go on a cigarette. And a sister in the church saw me, one of the mature sisters. Let me tell you, I dreaded getting to church because I knew that I would face her. In Titus chapter 2 and verse 3, it says, the older women, likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, and teachers of good things. And you see, within the congregation, it's so important that our maturer sisters take heed to passages like this, and that we don't strive for this, everyone. Not slanderers, not given to much wine. In other words, being in control. Being in control of your life. Being in control of your speech. What does it say? That they may admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, to chaste, to be homemakers, to be good, to be obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. And everything about the Christian environment that we live in is all about God. It's worshipping God. Everything we do is a worship to God. Being a mother is a worship to God. Every challenge you face and how you have to deal with it is a worship to God. How you react with your husband is a worship to God, but also the husband's. How you react to your wife is a worship to God. We have this responsibility as a body, as a family. And certainly as a congregation with each other to support and encourage and be there for one another. I'm going to tell you this, and I think this is important. It's about our homes. Now, whether you're a single parent, whether you're a family, whether you're the only Christian in the house, I want to tell you this. Our homes need to have accommodation for Christ. Our homes need to have accommodation for Christ. 1 Peter 2 and verse 5, the church of Jesus Christ is a spiritual temple made of living stones, being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. That is taken in 1 Peter 2 and verse 5. This spiritual building, it's not bricks and mortar, brethren. In 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 19, it says, not only is the church as a whole or as the local body the dwelling place of God's presence, but individual believers are also considered themselves the temple of God's Holy Spirit. And you see, to be a temple of God, to have the Spirit of God dwell within us, that means we can't segregate our time of where God is welcome and where God is not welcome. Therefore, a Christian home needs to be a dwelling place for God. So as we go into worship and we arrive here, of course, it's very important. But our homes, you see, many Christians do not see their homes to be as sacred as the church meeting environment. In other words, sometimes we can see this place as the time we come together for God. And then when we go home, if we're not careful, we find ourselves allowing that environment to be different. But you see, we are part of the temple. We are the body. And so, therefore, if we allow that to happen, we underestimate God's plan for the home. God began human existence with a marriage and a family. The first community that God established was a family and a home. That was his first establishment, a family and a home. He had a relationship with man in the context of the family before the setting of any church building, before any church building was established. Remember, the Israelites did not have a formal place of worship until the tabernacle of Moses was built. So where did they do their worship? The place of worship was the home. And all the worship was directed and led by the head of the home, the husband and father. Deuteronomy 6, verse 4 through 9 talks about that. But if we're not careful, we find ourselves replacing our home with the church building and saying, this is where we come just for worship. But our homes need to be places for that as well. You know, many Christians and their families need this spiritual exercise within our homes, this dwelling place of a Christian home. And it's a precious thing. One of the things I discovered with many of the homes that I've been in from members here is you go in and it's like being here. You know, I've been in houses where they're singing hymns before we eat. And holding hands and reading scripture and just being in that precious environment, prayer and teaching, and not just for in here, but all of this is something that we can have in our homes as well. And so you need to make your home God's home. And sometimes we challenge, aren't we? We have challenges, I know that. It's not always easy. It's not always easy. But Joshua 24:11, we say often, as for me and my house, or me and my household, we will serve the Lord. And no matter who, even if you are the only one in that house that's a Christian, make that your God. Whatever space you have, make that space yours. allow yourself to have that, and as families as well, come together and get strong in that relationship within the house, because the house is a place where God resides. Listen, if them, you know, where two or three are gathered, our Lord dwells amongst us. So Joshua made a choice for his home, and he chose that his household was to serve one God and only to worship one God. And that was done within that house. A choice against idolatry and for faithfulness instead. Regardless of the choices of others, Joshua's wife and the children knew one thing, and that was which way he was going to lead them through that guidance. Christ is the head. He's the head of the church. He's the head of the house. The unseen guest at every meal. Imagine that. Every time you sit down to eat, there is an unseen guest in your presence. The silent listener. He hears all the conversations. He sees all the activities. The silent listener to everything that is done in our homes. Now God is a gracious, loving God, and he knows the struggles that we face, and he knows our difficulties. But when he is active within our house, you will see the difference. In Genesis 35 and verse 2, we read, "And Jacob said to his household and to all who were with him, put away the foreign gods that are among you, purify yourselves and change your garments, then let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make an altar to God who answered me in the day of my distress and has been with me in the way which I have gone." And here we see that in his mindset, everything that was of a foreign god was to be put away. So many things in our life consume us and make us and turn our focus away from God. And these are the things that need to be cast aside. These are the things that need to be put aside so the true worship goes to our true God. We need to make Jesus the center of our home. He has to be the center. Living in such a way brings blessings, of course. Psalms 128, which our brother read for us. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. When you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy, and it shall be well with you. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house. Your children like olive plants all around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you out of Zion and may you see the good of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Yes, may you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. And there's a big focus point here about the path and the walk that we take and how we make this journey, how we live our life as Christians. But he says your wife shall be a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house. You picture that scene. Your children like olive plants all around your table. In 2 Samuel 6 verse 9 through 11, we see a picture of where David had gone to fetch the Ark of God back. That's the Ark. You remember the Ark? He went to fetch the Ark back. Everything that he did was wrong. Every path that he'd taken was a mistake, and consequently, because of that, a life was lost. David was furious. He downed the ark. He just left it, and he and his men went away. I want you to know this, that David was afraid of the Lord, it says in verse 9 and 2 Samuel 6. He was afraid of the Lord that day. And that was because of what had happened. He'd made all the mistakes, and Uzzah had died, and the ark was just dumped and left there, and they turned around. It says, "How can the ark of the Lord come to me?" So David would not move the ark of the Lord with him into the city of David, but David took it aside into the house of Obed-Edom. Obed-Edom's house. The ark of the Lord remained in the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite, for 3 months. And the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. Now picture this. 3 months. And the most important part of the worship, this awesome symbol of God's presence, was seated at Obed-Edom's house. This box was at Obed-Edom's house. You see, the tabernacle was a box, but it had an unbelievably important symbol. It was talking about God's presence. And Obed-Edom and his house had this box, this ark, in their house. And God blessed them in every way possible. So the question is, what box do we have in our houses? What is the box that tends to dominate our house? You usually plug it into the wall and you plug an aerial into the back and you have a remote control. That becomes, can become, the focal point in our houses. You see, it has the power to shape our homes. It has the power to shape our lives. It has the power to form our children, corrupt our values, disturb our relationships, and control our diaries. Because this box becomes the prominent point. Now, in Obed-Edom's house, the presence of God was the focal point. And because of that, he was blessed. His crops, his land, his cattle, his wealth, 3 months, having God prominently in his presence. I believe strongly that if we allow God to be present in our home, and I'm not telling you to throw your TVs away, but by allowing God to be prominent in our homes, we will be blessed. The box at the centre of Obed-Edom's house brought blessings. It reminded them daily of God's presence and goodness to Israel, his faithfulness, his promises, his covenant, his power, and his glory. God was residing in that home, and the home was blessed because of it. Our lesson is that, brethren, we need to build this box in our home. We also have this dwelling in our home. In Hebrews 11 verse 7, by faith Noah, when warned about the things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his people. That's a different ark. Of course, he built the boat. Yeah. Noah did all he could to save his family from the impending judgment on the earth. But you know something, one thing he could not do was drag his family, his friends and his loved ones into that boat. But he warned them and he built it the way that God had asked him to build it. And so my challenge for us today is to build our homes in that way. The salvation of our homes is our paramount importance. So even if you are the only Christian in that house, make it your goal. Make it your focus. We cannot save our families, only God could save them. We cannot force them into the baptistry, only their own hearts will allow us to do that. But one thing we can do is we can stand firm and say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I pray that God will bless you. I pray for each and every family. Give our love to our mothers and sisters of this congregation. What a blessing. How fortunate we are. And we thank God because of that. We're going to have an invitation here. And then at the conclusion of that, we will have a time of prayer. Shall we go?